regard to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. Before we consider the word of the Lord, because the Lord has a word for us tonight. That's why He's brought us along this evening, because He wants to speak to our hearts. Let us pray that the Lord will grant us tonight the listening ear and the heart that is open and ready to receive His truth. Most gracious God and eternal Father, we thank Thee for these wonderful hymns we've been singing tonight and the truth contained in them. And, O Lord, we bless Thee that it is true. The Lord has said, I will never leave Thee, nor forsake Thee. And every child of God tonight in this meeting knows the truth of those words. For the Lord has been with us, and the sun has been shining. He has been with us when the dark clouds have covered our sky. He has been with us in the valley. He has been with us on the mountaintop. Praise the Lord, our Savior will never leave us, nor forsake us. And even, Lord, as we were reminded this morning through Thy word, His love for us is unequaled. His love for us is unending. His love for us is unquenchable. O gracious God, we rejoice in Christ our Savior. We have indeed a wonderful Lord. We pray, our God, that even tonight through the Word, we will be led, drawn into a closer walk with Him. And, O Lord, should any heart this night be cold, and there be any indifference to the things of God, O Lord, work in hearts this evening. Work by Thy Holy Spirit, and bless us as we wait for Thee. Come, Lord, and cleanse us afresh in the blood. For the blood is our song and the blood is our glory. We ask all these things in the Lord's name, claiming the power of the Holy Spirit. That we might be able, Lord, this night to preach the Word. And in preaching the Word, that we might preach Christ. Oh, that we might ever preach Christ. We ask these things in the Savior's name and for His glory alone. Amen. We come this evening to another one of those great night scenes of Scripture. And it is referred to there in verses 19 and 20. Of Exodus chapter 14. It's also mentioned in verse 21. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. What a night that was. When Moses said to the children of Israel, as they were encamped by the edge of the Red Sea, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today." Verse 13. It was only the second time that we come across the word salvation in Scripture. The first time that we read about salvation is there in Genesis 49 and verse 18. Genesis 49, verse 18. The words of Jacob, "I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord." And when we look at the first reference to salvation in the Word of God, we have Jacob waiting for salvation. And when we come to the second reference to salvation, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord," we have Jacob's children, and they're about to witness God's salvation. Jacob was waiting for God's salvation. Jacob's children would soon witness God's salvation. And the salvation or deliverance of the children of Israel from the land of Egypt is a beautiful figure and type of that which God has done for us. Those of us tonight who have been saved by sovereign grace, what we read here in Exodus 14 reminds us of that glorious moment. For some it was at night, when the Lord in grace delivered us out of the house of bondage, delivered us from the hand of our Pharaoh, and set us on that road that leads to heaven and to home. It is, of course, in Exodus 12 that we read about the death of the Lamb, the substitutionary lamb which died instead of Israel's firstborn. The night of the Passover was the night that the blood of the lamb was shed on behalf of the firstborn of Israel. And now God brings his chosen people out of the house of bondage and sets them free. So it was the atoning blood of Christ, the heavenly Lamb, that was shed for us. Because of that blood, God has delivered us from the house of bondage and the tyranny of Pharaoh. Praise God, believer, tonight we've been set free. We have liberty tonight in Christ. We're no longer in the house of bondage. We're no longer slaves to sin, but we have been wonderfully and gloriously set free. And him whom the Lord set free is free indeed. And if it was at night that the death angel flew through the streets of Egypt and passed over all those houses that had the blood upon the lintels and the doorposts of their homes, so here's another night. Here's the night in which the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt and over the Red Sea. And as we read there, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. What a night that was for Israel, and believer, for you and me, when we were delivered, it was a night of salvation and song. Here's this night of salvation and song for the children of Israel. It reminds us of our deliverance and our salvation, and the new song that the Lord put in our mouth and in our hearts. But we must notice, first of all, that it was for Israel a night of great distress. The night which saw Israel being brought out of Egypt began with great dread and distress. Look there at verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Israel had been brought to the edge of the Red Sea. They had been brought to a certain place by the Lord. I want us to look at the place where the Lord brought them to. We notice that the Lord was directing the footsteps of Israel in preparation for their great deliverance. Look at the opening two verses. Let us look at them carefully. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn. You could underline that word, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. And so the Spirit of God draws our attention to the place. The Lord just didn't bring Israel to the edge of the Red Sea, anywhere in the Red Sea, along the edge of the Red Sea, but He brought them to Pi-Hahiroth. Now we know that place names in Scripture have meanings, and they're always full of meaning, and they're always very significant. And the place name Pi-Hahiroth is no exception. Just wonderful to see the plan of God, and to see how the Lord worked out this path for Israel to bring them to the Red Sea, where they would experience deliverance and salvation. The Lord said, turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth. Pi-Hahiroth means the place of liberty. So where did the Lord bring them? He brought them to the place of liberty. They hadn't known liberty in generations. They hardly knew what liberty meant. But the Lord brings them to the place of liberty. And so it proved to be for Israel. For it was here that Israel were finally delivered from those who had long held them fast in bondage. But I want you to notice that it was the Lord who brought them there. Yes, Moses was their minister, if you like. He was their leader, their guide. But it says, The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn. And encamp before Pi-Hahiroth. In other words, we see here clearly that the Lord was directing the footsteps of Israel. Had the Lord not said to Moses to direct the children of Israel to turn, Israel would have just wandered on and on and on. But the Lord turned Israel and brought them to the place of liberty. And dear Christian, does this all not sound so familiar? For where would we be tonight if the Lord in His mercy and grace had not turned our footsteps? We would still be wandering on in the wilderness of sin. We would be out there in the wilderness lost. But God in His grace turned us. As we read in the book of Ezekiel, turn ye, from your evil ways, for why will you die? You see, there had to be a turning if we were to be saved, if we were to be delivered out of the house of bondage. We needed to turn. It reminds us of repentance. That's what repentance is. Having a change of mind, a change of direction, a change of heart, a turning from sin. And the Lord turned us and brought us to our Pi-Hahiroth. He brought us to the place of liberty. Because until that time, we were in bondage. We were fettered by the devil. Pharaoh was our ruler. And he ruled us with an iron fist. But God turned us, brought us to the place of liberty. But then we read that this Pi-Hahiroth was between Migdol and the sea. This place, Migdol, signifies a tower or a fortress. And that is what Jehovah proved Himself to be then unto His helpless people. He proved to be a tower, He proved to be a fortress to the children of Israel. And did He not prove to be the same to us? When in fear and trembling, through the preaching of the Word, through the striving of the Spirit of God, He brought us to the place of liberty. Maybe it was in a meeting for you. Maybe it was at home. Maybe it was somewhere else. But I remember the night that the Lord brought me to the place of liberty, brought me to my Pi-Hahiroth. I realized that night that I needed to be saved. And I believed that night as I sat in that meeting, that if I had gone out of that meeting without accepting Christ, the Lord would never have spoken to me again. And there I sat in that little wooden pew in that wooden building in fear and trembling, knowing I needed to be saved. and the devil at the same time telling me, no, you don't need to be saved. And there I was at Pi Hahiroth. But the Lord that night proved to be my fortress and my tower. He proved to be my strength. And I'm sure he has, for you, he has proved to be your tower and your fortress. That's what he was to David. For in 2 Samuel, in verse 20, in chapter 22, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. You see, when David said that and wrote that song, when he had been delivered out of the hand of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. See? The Lord had brought David to Migdol, the fortress, the tower. That's what the Lord proved to be to David. My salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior, thou savest me from violence. And believer, can we all not say that tonight? The Lord is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, my high tower. Certainly we can. He is all these things to us. And my, he proved to be our fortress the hour we were saved. But then we notice something else. That the Lord turned the feet of the children of Israel and told them they were to encamp before Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Baal Zephon. Baal Zephon means the Lord of the North. The Lord of the North. What does this mean? The Lord of the North. What does it mean in relation to the deliverance and salvation of Israel? Well, the North in Scripture is often associated with judgment. Isn't that interesting? The Lord of the North. I could give a number of references to illustrate and prove this, but one will suffice. Joshua chapter 8, verse 11. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. Verse 13. When they had set the people, even all the host that was in the north of the city, and their lyres in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. Verse 19. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it and hasted and set the city on fire. It was a night of judgment for the city of Ai. Fire burned the city. The north and fire. There's judgment. And the children of Israel were to encamp by Baal-Zephon, the Lord of the North. And as they encamped there, they met with the Lord of the North, the God of judgment. Because that night God was going to judge the enemies of Israel. God was going to judge Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And you know, believer, when you think of it, that's exactly where the Lord brought us to when we were saved. You recall that night? You recall that day? You recall that hour? Brought us to our Pi Hahiroth, the place of liberty. Brought us to Migdol, tower and fortress the Lord proved to be to us. Brought us to Baal-Zephon. And that night we saw the Lord as the Lord of the North, or the God of judgment. And we knew then, if we did not receive Christ the Savior, we would have to face the God of. And in the words of the good old Puritans, for us it was turn or burn. Then you not only have the place, you have the pursuers. After Pharaoh had been informed about Israel's escape, he set about pursuing them with the intention of bringing them back to Egypt. Chapter 14. Verses 5-9. Look at verse 9 particularly. But the Egyptians pursued after them. Maybe we should read verse 7. And he, that is Pharaoh, took 600 chosen chariots. All the chariots of Egypt. All the chariots of Egypt. And captains over every one of them. And so we see here that Pharaoh mustered all his forces. It came verse 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. Here's the pursuers of Israel. Pharaoh, we can see, was not going to let Israel go. And Pharaoh pursues Israel and pursues them right to the point of deliverance, the place of liberty. He came right to that point where Israel was encamped by the Red Sea. As I said, he mustered all his forces, all the power that he had, military might and power in Egypt, to go and get these Israelites and bring them back into the house of bondage and enslave them once again. My, how this gives us a very vivid and clear picture of Satan's pursuit of any soul whom the Lord brings to the place of liberty. The devil will muster all the forces of hell to retrieve that soul and lead them back into bondage. If the Lord, by His grace and workings of the Spirit of God and conviction, has brought us to the place of liberty and brings a sinner to that place of liberty, you think the devil's going to give up? Not on your life. The devil will pursue that soul right to the place of liberty, right to the very point where the sinner is about to call in the name of the Lord for salvation. I'll prove it to you. If you turn, please, to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 33. Luke 4, verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Verse 35. Jesus rebuked him. Here's the Lord, as it were, bringing this man to the place of liberty. He's about to set him free. Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. There's the devil coming out of the man. But he couldn't come out of him peacefully. In coming out of the man, he had to throw the man. Here was the devil's last throw. His final throw in the life of this man. It was delivered by the Lord. We have the same thing in Mark chapter 9. Look at Mark 9. And verse 20. "Spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." This was the foul spirit in the life of this young boy. This man's son. The man told the Lord all about him. And said, "Sometimes this spirit tears him and he falls to the ground wallowing and foaming, and oft times it has cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him." That foul spirit is still at work today. That foul spirit is out to cast our children into the fire. He's out to destroy our children. As he was out to destroy this child. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore. There's the devil pursuing this child right to the very point of deliverance. For the foul spirit rent him sore and came out of him. Oh, he had to rend him first. Final sling of the devil. Here was Pharaoh's final sling. The Lord was bringing Israel out of Egypt. And here's Pharaoh's final sling. Pursues Israel right to the very point of deliverance, the place of liberty, right to Pi Hahiroth. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Then you notice their panic. They began to panic, the children of Israel did. They've been brought to the place of liberty and freedom. Not far away, just the other side of the Red Sea, they would be free of Pharaoh. But just then, the panic sets in. For we read in verses 10 to 12, Pharaoh
and his chariots and his horsemen come to Pi-hahiroth. Children of Israel are sore afraid. And they cried, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. I don't know what kind of a cry that was, because we're told in the very next verse they began to complain to Moses. Moses, why did you bring us here to die in the wilderness? Why would we be far better off in Egypt? They panicked. There's their fear. Their hearts were filled with fear when they saw Pharaoh. And there's many a soul, many an awakened soul, many a soul under conviction has been brought to place of suddenly panic. And they begin to think, what does this Christian life all mean? What am I getting into? What do my friends think? What do my workmates say? What am I giving up? What am I getting into? And they panic. And they're afraid. I remember one night in Newton Abbey, before we got our new church building, we were meeting in an orange hall. And a little prayer room behind the pulpit had three or four wooden pews in it. Remember, this young man stayed behind after the meeting this night. He wanted to be saved. And I remember bringing him into the room at the back and sitting down there in that wooden pew. And I can see him yet. He was sitting there trembling. The very pew was rattling, as it were. This young man was trembling so much. He wanted to get saved, and at the same time, he didn't know what to do. He thought about his friends, and he thought about his past, and he thought about the future, and he just sat there trembling, shivering with fear. Just as it was with Israel. They were afraid. Even though deliverance was only a few steps away. That's what the devil does. Sinners about to ask God into their heart, and suddenly they're gripped by fear. They panic. Men look at Israel. They talk about the past. It's all there. They said to Moses, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians. Can you believe that? For years, for centuries, they had been under the rule of Pharaoh, making their bricks and toiling and being beaten. And yet here they are at the point of deliverance, and they're saying it would have been better for us to stay in Egypt. That's how the devil deceives the sinner. Sinner comes under conviction of sin. Spirit of God brings them to their Pi-hahiroth, brings them to the place of liberty. Salvation's only a prayer away. All we have to do is repent. Salvation is only a prayer away. And they draw back many a soul I have sat with, and they have drawn back and have said, not tonight, because the devil has deceived them into thinking they would be better off in Egypt. You'd be better off in Egypt than becoming a Christian. Think of all the things you'll have to give up. I know, because that's what the devil said to me. Put all these thoughts in my mind. Think of the things you'll have to give up. Places you'll not be able to go anymore. Things you'll not be able to do anymore. He's still at the same dirty business. And the soul comes under conviction. He'll have them look into the past and tell them, you're better off in Egypt. You're better off enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. And you notice what Israel said to Moses? Did you bring us here to die in the wilderness? Who said they were going to die anyway? Did Moses not tell them, stand still and you'll see the salvation of the Lord? That's a far cry from dying in the wilderness. But that's the business of the devil, to paint as black a picture as possible. And he's done it with many a soul, and maybe he did it with you, believer. In those hours and minutes, perhaps, leading up to the moment you were saved. The time is almost gone, and you have it. See, it was a night of deliverance as well as a night of distress. Moses said to the children of Israel, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord told Israel to do three things. Three things. One, stand still. They were to be still. They were not to do anything. Just stand still. The Lord will save you. You stand still. And that night we got saved. That's what we had to do. We had to recognize that this salvation was not of us. No point us running about doing what we can or doing what we could. Wouldn't make any difference. We had to stand still, for salvation's not a work. Salvation's all of grace, and it's all of God. So they were to be still. And then they were to see. Moses said to Israel, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Some believe that these words mean that Israel was to remain passive until the waters of the Red Sea were divided. Not so. It's not what it means. Hebrews 11 verse 29 tells us that the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea by faith. By faith. And so what was Moses saying to the children of Israel? Moses was saying to the children of Israel, look, by faith, and see the salvation of the Lord. It was by faith they were saved. Is that how we were saved? By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So they were to be still, and they were to see, and they were to be silent. For look at what it says in verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Or those words there may be rendered, ye shall keep silent. They're to be still. They were to look by faith, and they were to be silent. Hold your peace. Moses said, the Lord will fight for you. In other words, the Lord is going to do it all. The Lord's going to do it all. You have nothing to do. You're simply to be still and look by faith and be silent. And the Lord will do it all. Isn't that what he did for us? He did it all. Jesus did it all long, long ago. And do you notice? It wasn't the salvation of Moses. It wasn't the salvation of man. It was the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm glad I had nothing to do with myself. And I'm glad that the Lord did it all. Because if I had had anything to do with it, I'd have made a mess. And then you have the presence. There in verses 19 and 20, the Lord told them that he would be with them. The angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel was the cloudy pillar. It was darkness unto Egypt, light unto the children of Israel. Shone as bright as day in the middle of the night. Christ is the light. Stands between us. The children of Israel had nothing to fear. They had the Lord's presence. The late Pastor Willie Mullen, when he got saved in the middle of a field, when he got saved, the first thought that hit him was, what is he going to tell the men back at the old house they lived in? Every one of them had a gun each. And he said, some of those men would shoot you as quick as look at you. And there he was. He was one of this gang, and he had to go out and go back and tell them to go see you. And Willie didn't know what he was going to do. And he said he had a switchblade razor in his belt. And as he walked along the road, he says, Lord, if any one of those men says anything about you, I'll pick this knife out and I'll cut their throats. And then Willie realized, no, that's not right. Tossed the knife away. And he had to go down that road and face these men himself. He saw a man walking along the road, and Willie went over to this man and told the man, do you see that field up there? He says, I got saved in that field. And Willie says the man got away across the other side of the road. He thought Willie was mad. And the next man he met was an old brethren man. And went up to this brethren man and he told him the same thing. He says, see, when that field I got saved there. The brother man said, "Well, God bless you, son." And then he said this. He said, "Fear not the unknown morrow. Dread not the new demands that life makes of you. For the one who has saved you is the one who will keep you." And Willie went back to that house knowing that he had the presence of the Lord with him. And he hammered on the door. And the man that came to the door, Willie said he was the biggest man of the gang and the meanest of them all. And Willie said he stood there just waiting for him. Waiting for him to strike out at William. He told the man he had got saved. And he says the big man stood there and suddenly tears started to stream down his cheeks. And he turned round and he said to all the other men in the house, "Get out." And the men didn't know what this all about. He just said, "Get out." Well, he's got saved. And I don't know anything more about it than that. Well, he said he stood there at that door as the men all filed out past him. And then he went into the house and he was left alone with the Savior. The Lord took care of him. The Lord took care of him. And the Lord has taken care of us, has he not? It's a night of deliverance. The Lord's presence and the Lord's power. There was a great sea before them. How were they going to get over? Rocks on either side. Mountains. Pharaoh behind them. Well, the Lord divided the Red Sea. As we sang tonight, the Lord reached down his mighty hand and he rolled the sea away. In the night that you and I come under conviction, there was a Red Sea in front of us. There was a sea of fear. There was a sea of sin. There was a sea of dread. But what happened? The Lord reached down his mighty hand and he rolled the sea away. Praise God, believer, he has brought us over and we're on our way to heaven. It was a night of distress, it was a night of deliverance, and it was a night of delight. For the next morning, the children of Israel saw a great sight. We're told there in verses 27 and 28. About what had happened. And the children of Israel, verse 29, "And the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the left hand," or on their right hand and on their left. "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore," and Israel saw. What did they see? They saw that great work which the Lord did. And then the verse ends, "And they believed the Lord." They saw the work and then they believed. Isn't that what happened to us? We saw the work, the greatest work that God ever did, the work of redemption. And when God opened our eyes to see that work and see our Savior as our substitute on that center tree at Calvary, we saw that great work of redemption and believed. What a sight. And then Israel began to sing. For the next beginning of the next chapter, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord." It was a night of salvation and song. Glory to God. See how quickly the Lord can turn a night of distress into a night of delight. A night of sorrow into a night of song. Wonderful Lord. He has given us a new song. Even praise unto our God. May the Lord give us voices ever to sing that song. What a night it was. A night of salvation and song. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal loving Father and gracious God, we rejoice in Christ our Savior. We thank Thee for that day that He brought us through the Red Sea. We bless Thee, Lord, that we had nothing to do but to be still. See by faith the salvation of the Lord. O gracious God, we thank Thee that Jesus paid it all. All to Him we owe. And sin had left a crimson stain. He washed as white as snow. We thank Thee, Lord, for the new song that was put in our heart. Lord, give us voices ever to sing that song. And we know the joy of the Lord in our hearts as we leave the house of God tonight, rejoicing in Christ our Savior. Just rejoicing in Christ. Lord, be with us now as we part the one from the other. Give everyone traveling mercy, especially, Lord, those that have a little further to go tonight. Keep Thy hand upon each one. Until we meet again, in the house of God, or in the eternal home of the redeemed. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore, until the day break and the shadows all flee away and we see the King. We see the King in all His glory. Amen.